Okay, we'll get started on our next session. Sandra Mabbitt is our next presenter. She is the Judicial Information Specialist at the Office of Court Administration Research and Court Services Division. I imagine several of you in this room have had occasion to call Sandra. She's been teaching for us this year and in the past, and letting us know what we need to do about our court reporting. We've got new rules and regs on the way, and so she's going to give us an update on that. And prior to moving to Austin in 1978, which in many states would make her a native, she lived in upstate New York. Please welcome Sandra Mabbitt.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. Glad to be here with you today. Probably some of you have heard this presentation from me before, but good news is probably the last time you'll be hearing this kind of thing from me. In your next session with us next year, we'll be talking about the revision to the form. So, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But hopefully today you're going to take away some really important things about this, about the form and why you should do it, the reasons that it's so important that you do it, how you can use the information, how others use the information, and hopefully it'll help you to avoid some of the common problems, errors, things that we see in our office all the time, either from the forms that you send us, the paper forms that you send to us, or what we find when you report online, if you're reporting online. Excuse me, and I do have a frog in my throat this morning, so I apologize ahead of time for if I'm coughing a lot. And we'll also talk about reporting electronically. For those of you that aren't familiar with it, we'll talk about the system and how you can use it even if you are not reporting online. So, as always, the most important thing I can tell you about this is your court is legally required to do this report. The Texas Judicial Council has mandated that every court do this report once a month. You can find that in the Texas Government Code. The Administrative Code is the one that dictates that we should have this form in our office for every court by the 20th of the month. So by just a few days ago, on the 20th, we should have had all of your reports from your court September 1 of this fiscal year through May. So the May report was due on June 20th. Now, excuse me, the one thing that we know, and we hope that you know, is number one, that this report is not all-encompassing. You will see in the revision that there is a very, very big change to the report. You do have a copy in your information of the draft. But we know it's not all-encompassing. The next version of it will not be all-encompassing. So don't try to force something somewhere. It's what the Texas Judicial Council has determined is what they want to capture. The other thing that we hope that you understand is that this is judge-centered. While we know that the clerks are basically the backbone of the courts because you take care of everything, the flow of the work, the going in and the coming out, it is judge-centered. So it's based on what the judge does, not what the court or the clerk does. And basically, all it's doing is measuring what's coming in and what's going out, and not necessarily everything that happens in between. So we're interested in how it comes in and how it is finalized. Okay? Whoa. Now, again, I mentioned that it's required by law. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened with that screen. It is required by law. In July of 2003, that was the last revision that we had. So I hope all of you are using that current revision, either if you are reporting using our form, which is the pink form, if you've copied it, or if you have software. So it's very important that you make sure that you have the current revision. In July 2003, 5 new data elements, juvenile data elements, were added. At that time, that's what the Judicial Council thought was what needed to be updated. Now, the information that we get, it's also used to, it's used by the legislature, the executive and judicial branches of government to determine the needs of the courts. And it's also a tool that you can use if there's a need for staffing or other things in your court, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. Okay, I guess it was just those. Oh, now it's fine. Okay, so the information that you sent to us is, it goes into three places. And the first one is the Trial Court Judicial Data Management System. That's where all of the reports are. That's where all of the reports for all of the courts, district, county, JP, and municipal courts, they're all at this website. And again, as I said, this is where you go if you're reporting online. This is also where you can go to get information if you just want to get reports. And I'll show you that towards the end of the presentation. Now, the Texas Judicial System Annual Report is a compilation of all of those reports that we get from all of the courts. And in that report, we also include the Courts of Appeals, Courts of Criminal Appeals, and the Supreme Court. So my department at the Office of Court Administration is basically responsible for compiling all the court data for all the court levels in the state. And that's where that goes, in the Judicial System Annual Report. Now, for those of you that have been around for a while, and you may have seen our annual report, it used to be a very thick version, actually about an inch and a half thick paper document. We no longer publish that. In 2004, we streamlined the report to about a 60 to 65 page document. However, we still do have all of that information that we always compiled, and it's online. So you can get to that through our website at any time. The information is still there. The Texas Judicial System Directory is the information that we get from all of the courts for your addresses, phone numbers, the fax numbers, who the judge is, all of those kinds of things. So it's very important that you keep that information up to date with us. If you're using this form and you send it in to us every month, you'll notice it on the side here by every single item that you can provide to us, from the judge, the address, phone number, fax, there's a little check mark, or a little place to place a check mark. And that's what you can use to let us know if you're using this form sending it to us. But you can call us, you can email us, you can send us a fax. Just make sure that you do that if you have any change to the court. We get things into our office, surprisingly enough, where a judge hasn't been there for 4 or 5 years. And we send stuff out to the courts all the time. And it will generally be addressed to the judge, because we don't keep the clerk's information at the municipal court level. So it's very important that you let us know when there's a change to the judge, a change to anything as far as the address, so that we and other people who are trying to contact the court can get in touch with you. Now, just back to the Judicial System Annual Report real quickly. We're coming up to very closely to the end of the fiscal year. Ends on August 31st. So you can expect to be getting a letter from me shortly, the same letter we send out to you every year that gives you an overview of the data that we have currently for your court and asking you to look at it. Is it correct? Do you need to make any changes? Make them so that we can get the correct information in for the annual report. I can't stress how important it is that you have the current data in there so that there is an accurate reflection of what's going on in the court. We'll talk a little bit more about looking over your reports in a little bit, but just make sure that when you get this letter that it doesn't just get tossed to the wayside, that you do take the opportunity to look at it and see if everything is correct so that we get that good data for you. The Texas Judicial System Directory, we send something out to you every year on that as well. It's published usually in January, sometimes early February, and we always send you out a letter that says, here's what we have for your court. If there's any changes that need to be made, please make them. So when we send that to you, it's the information that you send back to us is going to go to the Texas Judicial System Directory, which is no longer published in a paper format. It's just online, and that's a static document. Once we get that from you in January, it does not change. That document does not change. Unless there's a very, very high-level change, like in the Supreme Court or to a justice on the Court of Appeals. We don't change that. However, we know there are changes throughout the year. So there is a way that we can change what's in the system, and so that anybody that goes to look it up, which I'll show you that again when we get towards the end where we're talking about looking things up online and reporting electronically, we can make those changes. So again, don't think just because you don't get it to us in January or something changes later that we can't get that information updated and on the website, because we can. So now I just want to talk a little bit about the folks that use the information that we get from you. And this is just a common list of users. The ones on the right are generally the ones who ask us most often. And this is not an all-inclusive list. But the auditors in counties or in your courts might be looking at the information. Other judges might be looking at it. Other clerks. The Judicial Council might be looking at it to see whether or not the judge is meeting the requirement to send in the report. So there are a lot of folks that are looking at the report. Now, the report can be used by you or a lot of other people just to look at the workload in your court. You can look at the number of cases filed. You can take a look at the types of cases being filed. A lot of courts only have traffic cases. They don't have any city ordinance or state law cases. So you're just taking a look at what's going on in your court. You can look at the magistration duties that are taking up the judge's times, emergency protection orders, all those kinds of things. Just that report gives an accurate reflection of generally what's going on in the court. Now, these next couple of slides are just some tools that can be used by you or that can be used by other folks. But for the case clearance rate, the number of cases disposed within a certain period divided by the number of cases filed within a certain period. Now, that's taking kind of into account, we know that cases coming in are not necessarily going out in the same month. And we get that question all the time. I got that question by someone the other day, and that was from a fairly new clerk that said, well, my new cases are not anywhere reflective of what's, they're not all going out in the same month. And we know that's not happening. And 100% clearance rate would be perfect, but this is not a perfect world. So this is just giving you an idea of what's going on. And if that is decreasing, you know that there's maybe a problem with your case clearance rate. They're not going out. Maybe there's not a follow-up being done on folks who aren't coming in and taking care of their tickets. But it's just a tool that you can use. The revenue per disposition. Our office and the comptroller's office looks at revenue per disposition to assess how well the court is actually getting the money that they should be on their cases, on the tickets. And there are things that might factor into that, community service, jail credit time, but it is a useful tool to take a look at the total revenue collected versus the cases, the convictions. So again, these are just some other things that you can look at or that it can identify, track the trends that are going on in your court. The number of cases filed overall or by category, we talked about that. Case clearance rates, again, that was a couple of slides ago. The warrants issue, the revenue collected, all things that the whole picture is looking at whether or not things are going well in your court. You can make some comparisons, and I'll show you, and you have a copy, you should have a copy in your information. I'll show you one of the reports that you can pull up to do a comparison to like-size cities, similar-size cities, which can help you if you're trying to build a case that you need more help in your court. It can help you, again, perhaps for salaries, for budget purposes, for revenue collection practices. If you have a court that is not using a collection agency currently and you have a like-size court that is, you can possibly help build a case for getting that in your court. Now, there are, the benefit to you is, again, you can demonstrate, and your court can demonstrate how well you're doing things, what's going on in your court and how well you're doing it. You can also identify areas that need improvement. Again, if your revenue collected is very low, then there might be some things that you can do. We have collection specialists in our office that can come out and may have already come out to your courts to help you identify some ways where you can get some of that revenue coming in from your tickets that you're not getting. It can also help you justify things like not only for staffing but for technology. If you are using an old software system or have no software system, it might help you to identify identify that you have a need if you can look at another city that has that and build that case. Any questions so far? Okay. Our little do's and don'ts list, which I know you guys are very, very experienced clerks, and it's just the things that we see, so it's not meant as anything other than, hey, this is what's coming in. We know you guys know your job, but these are the things that we're seeing, and we just want to point them out just kind of as a friendly reminder. Make sure you're using the correct form. The new form, which you have a copy of, you have a copy of the draft, was supposed to be implemented on September 1st of 2010. Well, with session going on, we were not able to get the Judicial Council to approve it. So, maybe a good thing, it's pushed back to 2011. So once we have it finalized, which we hope, in the next couple of months, we will have that finalized. They just had a meeting a few weeks ago, but they didn't have a quorum for the vote, and they would not do it through, you know, email or over the phone. They wanted physical people there. So we didn't get a quorum to get it approved for 2011, even for the form that you have. So you may still see some changes, but again, plan on it being September of 2011. Plan on some dramatic changes to the form and what you're doing. What we'll do is go out to all of the courts with a letter to give you the actual finalized version of it. We will also work with the software vendors, which we have done with the county and district, and a lot of the same vendors work with the municipal and JP courts. So we went out to them for the county and district forms, met with them, wanted them to know what exactly was going on. We will do the same thing with the municipal courts so that we don't have any question as to how the form is supposed to be reported and how it's going to be implemented in your court. And what we did with the county and district courts, theirs is going to be implemented in 2010. However, we asked them to go ahead and start gathering the data because there are so many coding differences and so many things different that we had asked them to, if they could, switch over. And about 20% of them have switched over using the new reporting requirements, bless you, but they still can draw their data out, so they're using the current forms. And we'll probably do the same thing with the municipal courts. If it's possible for you to transfer over, then, you know, it just makes that transition in, when it actually does happen, rather than 1 month going from one form to the next month trying to scramble and change everything over, that, you know, you'll be more prepared for it and we'll be able to work out any kinks. So anyway, right now it's the July 2003 version. We want to know who the report is coming from, so make sure that it's labeled. Make sure we know. And I wish I could remember what software vendor it is, but one software vendor seems to be pushing out the form, but using one court's name. So if I don't have the address of, you know, who it's from, a lot of times I don't know who the court is. So just make sure when you take a look at what you're sending to our office that we can identify that it's for your court and from what month and year it is. We want you to turn the report in on time every month, remember, by the 20th, but even if it's late, we want you to turn it in. We have problems that occur. We have, you know, weather or courts. We had a court burn down this past year. We have systems that totally just go dead. And so we know that there are problems and that sometimes you can't meet those deadlines. But go ahead and turn them in. We have courts coming in for, you know, a couple of years ago that had didn't turn in data that are now. So just turn it in. And again, we want you to get the data in for the fiscal year for the annual report. So get your reports. And I believe it's early October that the deadline will be to have everything through August. Everything reviewed, changes made, and into our office. But in our letter that we send out to you, we'll give you that drop-dead date. We want you to fill out the form in its entirety, especially the prepared by section, and that's if you're sending this pink form, which a lot of folks have gone to to a software version. But the prepared by section really helps me a lot if I have any questions about something on the report, if something's not looking right or I can't read something. So the prepared by section just helps me know to ask a question. The report should only include activity that occurred in that month. So if you discover that you have something that you missed reporting, some revenue or some magistrations or new cases, whatever, if you discover that it should have gone on the previous month or a couple of months ago, we want you to do a revision to the report. We don't want you to give it to us on the current report because, again, we want an accurate reflection of what occurred in each month. So just do a revision to the form, the report that where the activity actually should go. If you're reporting online, you can make as many changes as you want online. You don't have to contact our office. You can just go in, make the changes, and click on submit, and the changes will be there. So it doesn't matter if you go in there one time, 10 times, 100 times. Just make the changes that you need to so that all your activity for that month goes in the right place. Make sure that you're filling out the form in its entirety, that you're giving us all the information for that month and the total revenue. That's one of the things that's commonly just, for some reason, left off of the form. Blanks on the form will just be filled in by the system as zeros, so there's no need for you to take the time to put zeros in the report. It's just taking up a lot of your time that's unnecessary for actually writing in numbers. If you're handwriting the form. We want you to submit a report every month, even when there's no activity, as long as you have a court, as long as there has not been a change that you are no longer a municipal court, you still need to submit a report. So if you've lost your judge or you've lost your police department, nothing's happening, everything's done, you don't have any money coming in, no cases, but you're still a municipal court, you still need to send in the report. So if you're reporting online, there's a no activity box that you check and put your prepared by and submit. If you're sending it to us, you can just put a line across the back, put a big zero, or write no activity, just something so we know that there's no activity. But you still do need to send in the report. Make sure that we can read it. We need to be able to read the information that's on the form. You need to keep copies of every report that you submit. And I mean what you are getting. If you're using a software system, you need to print out that copy and save that, not once you put it into our system and copy it. So you're required to keep what you use to input into our database, either the paper copy or from your software, for 2 years. So make sure you're keeping those copies. Again, I mentioned make corrections at any time. So whenever you see that you need to change something, please go ahead and do that. Here's an example. I got a call the other day, and it's another good reason why it's so important that you review your forms before you send it to us. I got a call the other day from a pretty good-sized court that said, we have discovered that when INCO did a change, like 2 or 3 years ago, for some reason something came through wrong, and our fined cases are not coming in properly. They had some fined cases on their reports, so there wasn't an alert to us. But everything was going into trial by judge, except for a few cases going into the fine category. So it's very important that you look at your report, that you make those corrections. She's going to try to go back and make those corrections. They're going to, unfortunately, have to do it manually. But if she can go back and make those corrections, again, she's going to have an accurate reflection of what's going on in her court. Because if someone looks at that down the road, when we took the time to look at it month by month, it was very obvious that there was a problem. And as always, just give us a call if you have any questions or anything that we can help you on. Again, I mentioned before on the computer printout, make sure it's your court name's on there and it's your court's name, that it's not someone else's court's name. And make sure that it's legible. Make sure that the data is not skewed going across the form. Make sure that it's in the proper columns, that we can determine where the information goes. Don't create or modify categories on the form. Again, I mentioned don't write in something because you want us to know what happened in your court. On this form, you should have a copy in your books. The shaded area is shaded because that means you can't put anything there. So proof of financial responsibility under parking or state law, there is no such animal. And we aren't moving that information over to where there is a category. So don't create or modify any of the categories or enter data in the shaded areas. Don't use case numbers, negative numbers, tick marks, any of those things, Roman numerals. Negative numbers typically are telling us that you did something wrong in another month. So just make sure, you can't do anything negative, and make sure that it's just plain old numbers so we know what goes into a category. Don't report the number of community hours ordered. That's something that we see. It's a common mistake. Just the number of cases, and dollar amounts should only go in the total revenue line. We'll see that sometimes in the find area. We can only accept one report per court. We do have a couple of courts in the state that have Department of Transportation cases where they keep that information separate, but when it comes to our office, it's all combined. There's no way for us to separate that data. So one city, one municipal court, one report. We don't want your traffic tickets, your documents that are going to DPS or the comptroller's office. I don't need anything to justify what's on your form. Lists of the tickets or the defendants or how much money or anything that you took in. Because when we get that, we take it off the report and it gets trashed. You need to keep that with your report that you're keeping for 2 years so that you can justify what's going on your report. But we don't need that. We'll skip in that. Okay, what goes on the form? Again, you guys pretty much know what's going on, so this is just a brief overview of what's going on the form. The filings and dispositions section, again, it's only cases that your court has jurisdiction over. You don't want to include cases from other counties, higher level misdemeanor courts, or felony cases. And this report only covers criminal activity, so civil matters of which your court has jurisdiction over, like tow hearings or dangerous dog cases, they are not included. Cases handled by the judge as a magistrate are not included as a new case. There's a separate part of the form down at the bottom where you include those. So make sure that you do not include those as a new case. Since you are pretty experienced clerks, you shouldn't have much problem determining the proper place to put a case. If you do, please don't hesitate to give us a call. Violations of promise to appear sometimes cause confusion. They stem from a traffic case, but should be reported under non-traffic misdemeanors, just like failure to appear. Report only those cases in which the judge assigned a final judgment. I got a call about this again the other day. The case had been heard, but the judge hadn't had a chance to sign off on them. So you can't report them until they're signed off on. the judge, and also the judge cannot give you a proxy or a stamp or anything like that to sign for them. It has to be the judge's signature. And only one disposition per case. The bond forfeiture should be reported only when the court enters a final judgment on the bond forfeiture. Remember that the case should be only one disposition per case. A case reported here should not also be reported under the fine category. Remember, a judgment nisi is not a final judgment. The purpose of the fine category is to track cases where the person did not appear before the judge. So this is going to include your payments that you take. If you have a system where they can pay online, they can give you the payment over the phone if they come in and give you the payment. However, that is that's all that's going on with the case, that the judge has accepted that it's being closed as a fine case, and they did not report or they did not appear before the judge at any time. So those go into your fine category. So just keep that in mind. If the judge sees that person for whatever reason, if, for example, you and the judge are the only folks in the court and the judge is covering for you because you're out that day, you're out at lunch or whatever, that's a trial by judge. Always, whatever the judge does is a trial by judge. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry? It's all trial by judge. Mm-hmm. Did everyone hear that question? She is the judge and the clerk. So everything that happens in her court is a trial by judge. Remember that the disposition date is the date that the judgment was signed. Again, that example I gave you, the judge hadn't had time to sign off on them, and it was going from 1 month to the other, and that's why they were concerned. So you cannot report those cases until the month where the judge has signed off on them. Now, payment plans. Remember that a payment plan, they do count in the month that it was signed off on. In code for a time, and if you were with me last year for this, we probably brought it up at that time. In code for a time was not reporting those till the end of the payment plan. So we all know what that means. What happens if the defendant never pays or fulfills their obligation to make all the payments? That case never got reported as a disposition. So make sure, it's another reason that you need to be very careful about what's going on in your report and taking a look at it, that you're when they're setting up a payment plan, that it's getting reported at that time. Trials by judge says, of course, trials, but, okay, and in her instance, doesn't sound like a trial by judge, but because a judge is a judge is a judge, that's a trial. So again, you're going to include cases in which the defendant pled not guilty but later paid the fine. Cases in which the defendant appeared before a judge to obtain a deferral but later paid the fine or did not satisfy the terms of the deferral and a conviction was entered. They're entering a guilty or no contest plea. So, again, these are going to be reported as disposed as a trial by judge when the judge signs the final judgment. Now, we don't want you to include cases in which the defendant appeared before a judge and entered a guilty or no contest plea or was found guilty, but the case was ultimately dismissed. So those are going to be, for instance, your DSCs, your deferrals. They are tracked separately on the report. Again, dismissed at trial, report all cases dismissed at or after seeing the judge that can't be counted any other place. But again, you see we're harping in on not the DSCs, not the financial responsibility, all of those where they have to show you proof. They have their own category. You want to make sure you report those once they bring you that information, not before. Once the probation has been satisfied, the proof has been shown, then the charge of the court has been dismissed. Community service, we want you to report only those cases in which community service was ordered to satisfy a fine or the court costs. Don't include. No, it's when it's ordered. It's not after. The question was if it's after. Is that what your question was? No, it's reported when it's ordered. So whether or not they ever actually satisfy the terms of the community service, it's still been reported, and you don't go back and change it. So it's when it's reported, when it's ordered and signed off on. Okay, we don't want you to include cases in which community service is a mandatory sanction, such as for alcohol or tobacco-related offenses. And again, we talked about this before, number of cases, not the number of hours ordered. So if they were ordered to do 24 hours for one case, you'd report one. Juvenile activity. Remember in the beginning I mentioned that was when we had, in July 2003 was when we had the revision to the form, and that's when we had the 5 new data elements added. Those new data elements were failure to attend school, violation of a local daytime curfew ordinance, referred to juvenile court for delinquent conduct, held in contempt, fined, or denied driving privileges, and parent contributing to non-attendance. I also mentioned that the magistrations do not get counted as new cases filed. There is a separate section on the form. And this is one that we know you have to work with your judge on, so we hope that you're doing that, because a lot of this activity occurs after hours on weekends at times when, you know, the court's not necessarily in session. So you need to make sure that your judge is providing you with that information. Total revenue, the revenue that you put on the form, which is the last line on the form, which is the only place you're going to have dollar amount, is what you collect in that month. So not what is ordered for the payment plan, not what is assessed, none of that. It's only what you're actually collecting. We want you to include everything except collection fees. So your fines, your fees, your court costs, forfeited bonds, all of those things, we want you to include. This is just a little check and balance that you should and could use when you're doing your report. Again, I can't stress enough that what you send to us, either electronically by submitting the report online or the paper copies that you send us, either our form or whatever you're using, that you look at that report. The example I gave you of where the court had all of those cases that were not being reported in their fine category, believe it or not, the clerks that were inputting it saw the problem but never told the main clerk. And she wasn't looking at the report every month. She was assuming that her folks were going to tell her if there was a problem. And when she went to them and said, you know, there's a problem with these reports, and they go, oh, yeah, we saw that a long time ago. So if you are the person that has several people under you, or you are the only person in that court, make sure you're looking at your report so that you know that what's coming into us is accurate. So this one check and balance is one that you can look at. If you have revenue reported and you have new cases filed, that revenue is coming from somewhere. And we're not talking about a court that has one or two cases coming through every month, because we know those courts are very small and they may not have any fined or trials by judge cases. But if you've got a pretty good flow going through your court, and you'd be surprised how many times I'll get a report like that where all I've got is new cases filed, some magistrations maybe, and revenue, and nothing in between. You need to look at those reports, because if you have those things going on, you should have fined and or trial by judge cases. So make sure you're looking at your report. Make sure it's an accurate reflection. If you know that you have DSCs going on in your court, or you have people that are bringing in their proof of financial responsibility or their driver's license, and you don't see those on your report, then there's obviously a problem, either in you're manually counting those or in your software. So again, make sure you're looking at reports so that you know that you're sending something that is a good reflection of what's going on in your court. So again, I mentioned before, don't report the amounts assessed, and don't include any amounts that that are retained by a collection agency. So if you have a collection agency that is assisting you and collecting your money from your defendants, then you do not include that. You include everything else, including your omnibase fees, but not your collection fees, okay? And the question was, do we include omni? And yes, you do include your omni fees. Okay. Now I want to talk about the trial court judicial data management system. So if there's anyone that's not familiar with this, this is where you can input reports. This is where you can... But this is also where you can pull up reports if you don't want to do reports online. It's also where you can get to our directory link. So we've had a big growth in electronic reporting. It's going up, 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 up since we started in 03. And these are a pretty good reflection, even though this is only November of 2008. But you'll notice the very high numbers on the county and district, and that is because they are required to report online if they are receiving grant funds from the Task Force on Indigent Defense. That's a mouthful. The justice courts and municipal courts are not required to report online, although we encourage everyone to report online, and we'll talk about why. You know, it's so much easier if you do and you have that opportunity. But it's not required online. Don't know that it that there's any talks about that being a requirement. I would guess that at some point there will be a requirement to report online, but at this time there's not. Here is my advocate for online reporting. She just said it's 10 times easier. So, and we're going to talk about online reporting in just a second. So, and she says it's great. So there we go. If you want to report online, and you're not, this is our help desk. Actually, they've changed their name to Service Desk. But this is where you can call to get your court ID and password. If you want to get signed up today, I have court IDs and passwords for everyone. I can get you set up. By the time you get back to your office, you'll be ready to go. If you get a court ID and password today and decide you're not going to use it, or you even call them, nobody's going to be knocking on your door, calling you and saying, why aren't you reporting online? It's just, I have them here for you, or they can get you set up. They can also help you if you are trying to log in and your password is not working, which that will happen. There's no, I can't tell you it's going to happen every 3 months or 6 months or how often it's going to happen. It just happens, and you'll go in 1 month and you're fine, and the next month you're not. You can't get in, and I see heads shaking. So all you have to do is call them, say, I need my password reset, and, you know, they'll do it. Now, I do get, I don't want to say complaints, I do get calls sometimes where they can't get through to our help desk. If you have that happen and you can't get through for whatever reason, you can call me or email me, and I can, you know, get with them and get that reset for you. I don't have the permissions to reset it myself, but I can get it done for you. So if you ever have any problem, just let me know. But again, if you want to get set up, come and see me after the class. So, and I think you should have instructions for reporting online in your information. But this is the login screen. And you'll see, this is where you log in if you want to do the reports, but also there is a public judicial directory. That's where if you want to go to the directory. And that is the one that changes all the time. That is the one where I said if you send us something and for an update during the year, other than when we published, when I say published online, the directory, then that's where you'll find the most current information. Public reports, again, I said if you don't want to report online, but you want to get some of the reports that we're going to talk about in a minute, that's where you click. And then there's also the change password screen or link. But back to logging on, each court has a unique court ID. It belongs to your court, so when you go to our service desk and they try to give you another court ID, that doesn't work. Make sure that they only, you know, stick with your court ID because they never change. And you have a unique password that they'll give you one to start, or I can give you one to start today, and then you can change it. So to enter a report, you're just going to click on Add New Monthly Report. If you're one of the folks that are lucky enough to be able to upload your file where you don't have to actually type in the data, which it doesn't take more than, I wouldn't say, 5 minutes to do it if you're actually typing it in. But if you have that capability to upload, then you just click on View Electronic File Status. So you want to select the month and the year for the report. It's very important that you do select the month, because if you leave it blank or there's nothing there, it's going to go. It'll take it. And then when you go back to your screen where you've input it and you don't see your report, you're wondering where it is. And that's because either the year or the month was not selected. So you'll select the month and the year. What I want you to know is here's another check and balance for you. If you're reporting online, the only thing that's going to be available for you to put online is the current fiscal year. So if we have all of your reports and you have submitted all your reports right now through June, there's nothing going to be here for you, because June is not going to be available to you until July 1st. Okay? Does that make sense? The May report was due by June 20th. If you've got September through May in, it was due by June 20th, then the next report that's due is for your June activity. Your June activity doesn't end until June 30th. Our system will not allow you to go in and put a report in for June until July 1st. It's kind of one of those things where we're saying, hey, don't try to submit something to us. You still got a few more days left in the month, okay? We want to make sure you're capturing everything for the month. But if you go in here and you see that now it's May and February is showing, when you click on the months, you know that we haven't got your February report. It's just another check and balance for you to see if there's something missing. So when you go in to input the form, it's going to you're going to put the data in. You only need to put the data in where you have numbers to report. So again, this mimics the form, all of the boxes. You see those shaded areas that I told you can't input? There's no box there for them. You'll see there's no zeros on this report because you don't need to put those zeros in. The system's going to do it for you. Okay? So you just need to put numbers where you need to report numbers. You go down to the bottom, you put your name in the prepared by. That's just as important as if you're sending me the report. Because, again, if we look at these reports and we see something that's not looking right, then we want to know who to ask the question of. Okay. This is very, very important. You have to get this message or your report is not saved. So, here's another check and balance. Over here, remember I said that you're submitting your reports for the fiscal year. So this was fiscal year 05. September is the first month in the fiscal year. And say that January is the report we were trying to do in February. This is telling you every month that you log in and do your reports that you're missing your September report. Okay? So you need to look at this screen. It's telling you you're missing that month. So I've probably sent you the little letters that I send out that say, friendly reminder, I don't have this month, or I don't have these months, or I don't have any months for this fiscal year. I'll send those out periodically. So just remember, there's where you can check to make sure you have all of the information for this fiscal year in. And again, it's awesome. The system is, you know, it's very easy. You just report the data that you need to. She says, write down your court number because it's long and you'll never remember it. But other than that, you know, it's a good system, and it's one that gives you immediate gratification. You don't have to ask. You don't have to call and say, did you receive my report? You're going to know because it's going to populate there. It's going to show you. You're going to get that message that it was saved successfully. So now if you need to make a change to a report, again, you can do that at any time. For the current fiscal year, again, these are active links. So you can click on any of these and open up the report. Or you can do search and edit, which allows you to pull up a month or a series of months. And when you do that, you're just going to get the report as it was entered. And you notice the zeros? Remember how I told you it's going to fill in with the zeros? We didn't have to do that ourselves. It actually fills it in. So all you need to go, if you need to change one number, you need to change your revenue, just change that one number you need to change, go down to the bottom, click on submit. There is a note section that's there for you. That if you want to tell us something that's pertinent to that particular month, then go ahead and put it there. For instance, if you have a month where the prosecutor has decided to dismiss a ton of old cases, you've got cases from 10 or 20 years that are just lagging around in your system and you want to get rid of them, so you're going to have a high dismissal rate. You'll want to give us a note in the note section that says, prosecutor decided to dismiss old cases, therefore that's the reason for the high number of dismissals. Something really quick and simple, but something that we'll know when we look at it, you'll know, or someone down the road will know when they look at it, an auditor, the judge, or whoever, city council, whoever's looking at that later on, will know why that you had that high number. What we don't want you to use that note section for is to tell us that you have a new judge, that you have a new phone number, a new address, any of that stuff. I get nice little notes like have a nice day, which is nice, but you know, the things that we really want in there are things that are pertinent to that report. Directory updates and phone number changes, judge changes, those kinds of things. We want you to call us. We want you to email us. We want you to let us know, but not through that area, okay? So, again, you're just going to go down to the bottom of the report, click on submit, and you're done. Now, we have some vendors that have developed interfaces. Again, that's the electronic filing. You do need to use one of the approved vendors if you're lucky enough to do that. That's like a 30-second maybe upload to do those reports. And again, that's clicking on the view electronic file status. It'll ask you to browse to find your file, and you submit it, and that's it. And it's done. And again, see again, here's all of our populated months for this fiscal year. Oh, sorry, that's a JP, but it's the same thing. Now, activity reports. I mentioned earlier that there are some reports that you can generate that can help you to see what's going on in your court, to take a look at what's going on if you want to compare yourself to other courts or any court in any of the other municipal courts in the state. Our database contains data back to 1992, September of 1992. So if your court gave us the activity report back to that far, we have it. It's in there. You'd be surprised. People want to look at stuff. They want to look at things, how things have progressed in a court, the ebb and flow in courts. And it's sometimes, if you take a look at even 5 years' worth of data, you can see a huge change in what's going on in a court, and it helps you if you're trying to justify the need for additional resources, additional help in your court. And again, it's the most up-to-date data available. So whether it's you in your court or someone in another court that's clicking on submit, or it's me in my office that's clicking on submit, as soon as that submit button is clicked on, that data is available to anyone. So anyone that wants to look at those public reports can look at that data. You or I that have access to actually inputting the report are the only ones that can change the data. But anyone can look at that report. So again, important that we know and have accurate information. So the two reports that we have available for the municipal courts, it's the monthly activity report, which you can run for one city or for the entire state. We'll run that entire state one at the end of the fiscal year so we can get a percentage of the number of courts that have reported for the whole year. And the municipal courts have been doing a great job. I would say since I've been in the office for 5 years, we've been at 97 to 100% every year reporting. So you guys have been doing a fantastic job in getting us the reports. The activity by city report is a summary, activity for all the cities in the state, and it can be sorted either alphabetically or by population. And you have a copy of those reports, you should, in the information that's in your books. So the activity by city report, so here is one. Again, when I send you that letter out in a couple of months asking you to look at your data, this is what you're going to get. And this report is going to tell you a lot of things. It's going to tell you for this fiscal year that you have whatever percentage reporting rate. So this is going to say 12 reports out of a possible 12. That's what we want to see. If you see 9 out of 12, we're missing 3 reports. Okay? So whatever is missing, it's going to tell you right there. This report is going to show you overall your total cases filed for the year, all the categories. It's going to give you some totals down the line, your total dispositions prior to trial, dispositions at trial. It's going to give you your total revenue. It's going to compile all of the information for that fiscal year. So you should be looking for this in the next month or two. Now, the municipal court summary of report activity, which is for all of the courts, is this is the report, which gives you just some basic numbers. And I've given you this alphabetically, but again, I mentioned you can run it by population. If you're going to run it by population, this is the tool that you can use when you're trying to compare yourself to another court and you want to justify possibly getting some additional resources, whatever that is, bodies, technology, whatever. Because what you can do is when it is sorted by population, and this is what we most commonly suggest, that you'd go 5 cities up, 5 cities down, and then look at those 5, look at those 10 plus yourself courts and the activity that's going on. It's going to give you your cases filed, your cases disposed, your cases appealed, and your total revenue. And then that's going to give you an opportunity to contact those other courts and find out what's going on in that court. How many people you're using, what kind of software system do you have, those kinds of things. You might want to do a further sort once you identify those 10 cities and pull up these reports, because then you can get into the nitty-gritty at the things that might be taking up a lot more time, a lot more of your time, so you can have the backup for providing that case that you need to give to the judge, to the mayor, to the city council, whoever it is that's going to make those decisions on getting you some additional resources. So again, those are a couple of the tools that you have available to you. And then, here's the directory. So now you want to contact those courts, and this is how you can do that. So again, you can get to this directory either if you're reporting online or not. And again, this is the one that is updated all the time. This is our live system, just like where the data goes in for the reports. This is updated every time somebody clicks on submit. So what you can do is pull up information on, you can pull it up by position, by court type, by when you pull it up, if you go by personnel, you can actually look up a judge's name to see where they are and their information. So again, this is what people use outside of the court system when they're trying to contact a court. So again, another reason why it's so important that we have the most up-to-date information from you. So in this example, we just pulled up all of the municipal courts for Archer County. It may be that the courts that you're needing to contact are not all in the same county. So back here, you can just type in the court name right here. You wouldn't select a county. You just put court, municipal, and the name of the court and click on search. And it's going to give you all of this information. It's going to give you what we have as far as the address and the phone number so that you can contact that court. Okay? Then what you can do is You can export that information to Excel, so you can set up a mail merge file if you're wanting to send a letter out to those courts. You may want to send out a letter to them and with a little form that says, tell us how many people you're working with, the technology, all those kinds of things. So, you know, it's an opportunity to either set up a mail merge, or you may want to set up a like a phone listing so that you have that easily at your hand to contact people. Now, I am hoping that none of you are using the antiquated OCA software system that we had years ago. Anybody using it? Good. Because we don't support it any longer, so we were just letting you know of some software systems that are available to you out there. And the last thing is, this is how you can contact me, my email address, my phone number, the help desk if you need to contact them again for reporting online or getting your password reset. My supervisor is Angela Garcia. She's very knowledgeable. She actually worked in the Austin Municipal Court and helped set up the Austin Community Court. So she's got a wealth of knowledge. I won't pretend to know. I can't even pretend to know everything. So if you ever call me and I say, I don't know the answer, but I'll find it for you, you can rest assured that our office is there. Our total job is to support the court. So whatever you call us, we will help you and find the answer for you. So that's the end of my presentation. If anybody has any questions, or if you want to get set up for online reporting, please come up and see me after the class. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.